Okay, there's one passage of scripture that always comes to my mind this time of the year. I don't know why. For this time, Thanksgiving season, in that time. But it has to do with Jacob. And most of you remember the story of Jacob, you know, and he was known as Jacob the Deceiver. And not just once, necessarily. And schemer. He wasn't always 100% faithful or 100% upright. Brethren, his God was always 100% faithful. And he was chosen by God. Not for anything in the world in him. You know that passage in Romans, Paul writes in Romans 9, I'll just read through there quickly, but the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Listen, God is sovereign. God loved Jacob for nothing in him. Before the boys were born, before they'd done anything evil, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You know what? God can't do that. He can do that. And Jacob had all kind of troubles and had to run away and fear of his life. And the Lord told him to go back home. I'm sure Jacob had to start, I don't know. Genesis 32 and verse 9. And this is after God told him to go back home. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. Let me stop there. It's what Brother Dale's talking about. Our Baptist forebears. You know, in many ways we're not worthy of them, but that's God's grace. The people he put there. And I go back, I look at some of my physical forebears, you know, my great-great-great-grandpa that came down from South Carolina and planted a church up there and around, well, Floor Home. Nobody knows where that is. Grandin, nobody knows where that is. But the church is still there, and, you know, the Lord tarries. I'll be buried there someday. Those folks, they were Sovereign Grace Baptists. You go back and read the old Baptist histories, they believe like we do. That church doesn't believe like us anymore, but they did. Those Baptist forebears, and Jacob hears, he says, Jacob said, oh God, that's the primary thing, but who? He's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. He was the God of his forebears. God used them to bring him to where he was. God prepared our ancestors. God of our father Abraham, God of our father Isaac, he was their God. He made a covenant with them. God has an elect people. God makes a covenant with that people. God is our God, and the elect are partakers of a covenant with him. We weren't there to be a part of it. The election took place. Brethren, before you were born, you know, you hear this foolishness, they say, well, God made his vote, and Satan takes his vote, and you get to cast the deciding vote. Brother, the election's over! And when the election took place, you were too young to vote. You weren't even. God did that. And Satan don't get a vote in heaven anyway. See? And so Jacob's remember, Jacob said, O God of our father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, God prepared our ancestors, both physically and spiritually. And a lot of folks are grafted in. You know, they didn't have that necessarily physical descent. Go back and look at my great-great-great-grandpappy that was a Baptist preacher. Folks like the Tenseis in Salvador, God saved them out of Catholicism, grafted them in. They have a great Baptist heritage now. Even as Brother Dale was talking about. We're part of that covenant that he made. Now, in Hebrews 13, verse 20, a verse I often reflect upon. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. He was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. That everlasting covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, when the Father gave a people to the Son. And the Son said, I'll redeem that people. The Holy Spirit said, I'll quicken them and bring them in. And this is the part I reflect upon. I still don't completely understand, but I rejoice. Right then, Jesus Christ became our surety. Father said, I accept it. And it was done. That's why he's slain before the foundation of the world. That's how it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. He had not yet been incarnated. He had not yet come. But it was accepted by the Father in that eternal mind that I can't quite understand because I've got a little pea brain. Christ became our surety. It was settled. It was settled. We were in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were in Him before we were. I'll get off into what some things folks call me a heretic about. I believe in eternal justification. As soon as Christ became our surety, the Father accepted it, and we were justified before God. Not in our own minds. We didn't yet have recognition of it, you know. We're justified in time when we're quickened and brought to embrace the gospel of our salvation. Before God, we're justified from eternity. It's done. It's settled. The blood of the everlasting covenant. And so we have a covenant relation just like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob did. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I used to, when I didn't know any better, I used to like that old song. It's just got a real nice ring to it. There's a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine, oh, it isn't mine. There are no new names written down in heaven. You're not there. Where did it come from? And where is the comfort in that? Now, there's a name written from before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8 says, the beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they shall dwell on the earth, shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. He did that before we were. You didn't do that. You know, he did that. His names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And Jacob had a physical covenant with God through his ancestors. We have a spiritual covenant with God through our brother Jesus Christ. We are in him from the foundation of the world. And so Jacob reflects on that as he's going back home. And Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. He continues on. The Lord saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. So God gave directions to Jacob. After all these years, he said, Jacob, it's time to go home. And Jacob obeyed. Though I don't doubt, and it's pretty clear that he had some misgivings about it. You know, he was wondering what's going to happen. Because you know, his brother Esau had vowed, you know, revenge upon him, basically. And he was going to have to pass through Esau's land. And he didn't understand it, but God said, go, and Jacob said, okay, I'll go. Like Stonewall Jackson said, duty is ours, consequences are God. So God said, go. Jacob said, well, I might die. Go. God will deal with his people. Say, return to thy country and to thy people, and I will deal well with thee. Listen, I don't know what God has in the future or how God's going to deal with us or what may come down the pike, but I know he's going to deal well with his people. We're in his hands. We're not in the world's hands. We're not in Satan's hands. You know, you consider the Old Testament, Saint Job. You know, Satan couldn't do anything to him without God's permission. And I'll go beyond. Satan couldn't do anything to him without God's providence. Not a thing. Satan was an instrument in God's hands. Even though Satan didn't realize it or intend it. Scripture talks about wicked men doing the same thing. You know, they're instruments in God's hands to bring forth that which he determined before the foundation of the world. The more they rebel against heaven, the more they bring about the will of God. So, God deals well with his people. Consider the Lord. You know, the greatest crime of all time. Again, the crucifixion of our Lord. The world, Satan has no power on us except God has granted it and determined it. I think of the Lord. See, here he is with Pilate, you know, and Pilate's saying all stuff to him. The Lord's not answering either. And you read over in John 19, verse 10. Who saith Pilate unto him? Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And have power to release thee? A great and mighty government, you know. They got the power. Don't you know what I can do to you? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And then the next verse is just amazing, because Pilate's just saying, look here, I got all the power. I can crucify you. I can release you. Verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, thou art not a friend of Caesar. Or thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. He just finished saying, I got the power to crucify you, he let you go. And then he wanted to let him go, and he didn't have the power to do it. He couldn't do it. As you see, he had no power, just like the Lord had told him. His will be done, and we can trust it. So the Lord says to Jacob, you go home, and I'm going to deal well with thee, and he will deal well with his people. And then Jacob reflects, much as the Brother Dale was talking about in his testimony, and I think we all did to one extent or another. In the verse 10 of Genesis 32, he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed thy servant. That's God's grace. We're not worthy of any of them. God has shown his faithfulness in the past. Jacob experienced God's faithfulness. And Jacob realized that he was unworthy of each and every one of those blessings that God had poured out upon him. The apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Unworthy. Unworthy. of all God's mercies. And then he says, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Brethren, I don't claim to understand everything. I don't claim to know everything. But I know the Lord's been pleased to reveal some things to me, and I think to most of you all, that he's not revealed to others. Don't pat yourself on the back. That comes by his grace as well. It's just all by his grace. I mean, you can sit and you can talk to folks till you're blue in the face about doctrines of election or what. And they just, you know, they don't get it. For a lot of other things. And you didn't either until the Lord was pleased to reveal it to you. That verse also often like to reflect upon from old Peter, you know, and the Lord said, well, who do folks say that I am? And I said, oh, well, some folks say you're one of the prophets come back. Some of them say you're John the Baptist come back. And some of them say this. The Lord said in Matthew 16:15, he said, but he saith unto them, but whom say ye that? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. Peter was quite a scholar. You know, I mean, he stayed up and studied all night long to figure that out. And he compared everything. He said, wait a minute. What happened? That's not what happened. Everyone else had those things. Well, you had folks who were a lot better scholars than Peter that didn't get it. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What you know by the grace of God. Because God determined to reveal himself to you. The first thing he reveals to his people is who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And beyond that, you know, there's things I'm sure I don't know. I think the Lord's revealed some things to some folks that he hadn't to me. Like, it's like, well, God's obligated to do that. I don't think so. It's like these folks get all in a tizzy because maybe God has a physical people and the spiritual. No, I got to be the physical people too. I got to be all Israel. No, God can do that. So, God is the one who chooses and elects. And God revealed us who Jesus Christ is. And I think God revealed to us as well. And some of us went kicking and screaming the doctrines of grace. You know? Or church truths. Or, as we kind of sang about this morning, the preservation of Scripture. It's not revealed to all. And I don't think it's even revealed to all Christians. I think there was some good, fine, upstanding Christians who the Lord never revealed church truth to. I don't know why. I don't know why. I still, in my studies, I'll be honest with you, I can't hardly come across the man who lived a more exemplary Christian life than General Lee, really. I mean, lived it. But the Lord never revealed church truth then. So why? Well, it had nothing to do with how smart he was. God chose. How'd God choose Jacob over Esau? Why? That the election of God might stand. It's all by his grace. And so Jacob says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. Jacob said, you know, when I was going the other way, all I had was a stick in my hand. That's all in the world I had. I had nothing else, and I was running for my life with a stick in my hand. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. He says, and now I become two bands. God blessed him in all sorts of ways. But in particular, he blessed him in the area of family. You know, we're blessed. Well, Jacob a little bit more than another, but with a good wife. You know, Jacob went a little bit beyond that It may be going extended beyond what God's perfect will would have been, but again, Jacob was Jacob, and we're us. But he said, I'm two bads. You know, I've got a family here. I've got children. You know, he started talking about his ancestors. And now he talks about his progeny. You know, I've become two bands by the grace of God. By the grace of God, you know, I've come back with the family. And we all know how what happens to that family, and it becomes 12 tribes, so forth and so on. By the grace of God. It's all by God's grace, as the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not made to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. All that we have, all that we are, is by the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God. And then he continues on, and I'll wrap it up here, but verse 11 says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. From the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother, and the children. Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sands of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Brother, we can trust God for the future that lies before us. There are a lot of enemies about, right? I mean, we got foreign enemies that would like to do us. We don't have enough of that. We're important enemies, right? You know, the government's important enemies. The biggest enemies we have are domestic. And Esau said, I'm afraid of Esau. And we may look at what lies out in the future. Who knows what they're going to do? What they're going to do to folks like you and me. You know? It's Jeremiah in a pit, you know. Brother Dale talking about Hebrews 11. And I was, wasn't all rosy picture. Some were sawn asunder. They were afflicted. But listen, God's in charge. We can trust him. Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. God has always provided for us in the past, even as Jacob reflected on that. And we know, Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And brother, if you don't worship an all-sovereign God, that verse can't work for you. You see? I mean, how can that work, that all things work together for good? Only if God's sovereign and in control of it all. That's the only way that verse can work. And so as we face a new year and multitudes of enemies, we can, with the psalmist, say, the Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What can man do unto me? In Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Brother, trust in the Lord in the coming year. If you do that, that's his grace too. You can't even do that by yourself. But I pray by the grace of God that we may be faithful in this year that comes. And I can tell you this, you can be certain that he will be faithful. God will be faithful. And I'll close with a verse from Ecclesiastes. The preacher says, Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. By the grace of God, may we stand there in this coming year. Let's take our hymnals this morning. And we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 249. Thou hast chosen, number 249.
This heart would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. Now from the sin that stained me, wash me and set me free. And to this end ordained me, that I should live to thee. 'Twas sovereign mercy called me, and taught my opening line. No world had else enthralled me, to heavenly glories blind. My heart runs not above thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing if I love thee, thou must have loved me first.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the great God that you are. We reflect on the faithfulness that you showed to those who went before us. The faithfulness that you've shown in our own lives in the past. And Lord, the assurance that we can have that regardless of what comes, that you'll remain faithful. That regardless of what may come our way, it comes from your loving hand. Father, we pray for grace to be faithful this year, to walk in your ways, to be used of thee. Lord, we thank you for this, your little flock. We pray for our brother Prophilus. He's away from us. Keep him safe. Return him safely. Father, we pray that you might be pleased to use each of us in this coming year to your own glory. Lord, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our Savior's completed atonement. Lord, thanks for the work of the Spirit that gave us life and drew us to yourself. And thank you, Lord, that there was nothing that we could add to that. Surely we had nothing to add. Go with your people in this coming week and in this coming year. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.